I'm speaking with Tony Gonzalez. Tony is the director of the American Indian Movement West, and he recently helped host the 40th anniversary gathering of the American Indian Movement West in the Bay Area and at Alcatraz. Tony, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio.
Hello, and hello to all your listeners on this beautiful day, January 1st.
Tony, this show is called No One Is Illegal, and your gathering was also called No One Is Illegal. It was No One Is Illegal, We Are All One River, Somo Un Solo Rio. Could you tell us why that specific title was chosen for this very significant event, the 40th anniversary reunion of AIM in the Bay Area?
Yes, and having spoken to several leaders in the American Indian Movement, including Clyde Belcourt and Bill Means and Dennis Banks, Patricia Bellinger, Madonna Thunderhawk, and others, the issue today is the border issues, both in the North and the South, and in Mexico, U.S. in particular, and the increased militarization and the number of deaths of indigenous peoples found in the desert attributed to dehydration and starvation and exposure to the heat, well over 4,000 and 5,000 people now in the last 15 years. Felt that addressing the border and immigration should be paramount in our talks for the 40-year anniversary of American Indian Movement.
Tony, often the issues around immigration are contrasted with issues around indigenous sovereignty, indigenous treaty rights. I know that one of the starting points for this radio show and the No One Is Illegal groups in North America is that it's a false division to talk about immigration and indigenous issues separately. I'm wondering if you could share your reflections or the reflections that came up at the gathering around the linkages being made between indigenous sovereignty and fighting for indigenous rights, and at the same time, fighting against militarization at the border and also fighting for justice and dignity for all migrants.
Right. And the question, as you can see, is so heavy in itself. The 40-year anniversary was really two days of working, of discussing, of talking, of identifying the issues, really. And so, you know, that question of the immigration and the militarization took a lot of time. But we had testimonies from people at Ground Zero, people like Mike Flores of the Tohono O'odham Nation there at the border, who has witnessed the militarization, has witnessed the invasion and the occupation of the U.S. military there at the border, and have talked to victims whose children have been killed by the ICE or the new immigration police force down there. So it was a concentrated talk and what the feelings are of people and how can we protect our peoples and way of life and still assert the sovereignty of the peoples from that area with both governments, U.S. and with Mexico.
Tony, this was also meant to be a gathering for the American Indian Movement. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that, where the American Indian Movement is at. I come from a generation, a relatively younger generation, for whom The American Indian Movement is something that we've read about, Wounded Knee, the movements in the 70s. And I'm wondering if you could talk more about the movements today, where the American Indian Movement is at today.
Yes, and that too is one of the reasons for hosting the 40-year anniversary reunion and here on the West Coast was to educate the public and the youth about the history and the role that the American Indian Movement has played in the social fabric of today's society. The civil rights movement of the 60s and 70s that many young people read about today is not what the American Indian Movement was striving for, not for civil rights, but for treaty rights and sovereignty and self-determination, not to necessarily to integrate with societies, but to assert their cultural and inherent rights as peoples and living in this society. There's a lot to learn still from the movement and the activities of that time, but there is a lack of understanding. There is a lack of knowledge from the youth. Indeed, sometimes I go to the campuses today at the college campuses, and people aren't aware of American Indian Movement and its history. So having the 40-year anniversary last November here in San Francisco and bringing people like Lee Brightman and inviting people like Clyde Belcourt, Patricia Ballinger, Madonna Thunderhawk, Lynn Foster, Bill Means, and Charlie Hill to include some Indian humor to all of the serious work and business that we're involved in to liberating our peoples and maintaining our culture and securing our ceremonies to go on, and that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of educating, which is what we need to do now. And importantly, was in the talks included activating or reactivating, starting chapters of American Indian Movement as political action type of community organizations and linking up, developing networks, and a broader infrastructure that we can begin to plan more in depth at the local community level in economic development compatible, appropriate to our communities and the surrounding areas. And also realizing that we are at a pivotal point of being at the table and being heard. And we as indigenous peoples, in fact, in the world, and particularly now with the historic passage of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, adopted by the General Assembly last September 2007, clearly defines the rights of the world's indigenous peoples, and that's what we need to implement at the local level as well. And so developing a network regionally and nationally and reinforcing that with our own political education consciousness with a spiritual direction, I think it'll go a long ways to not only improving our community, but challenging this government to the rights that that we maintain.
Tony, the gathering took place in the Bay Area, but there was also a portion of it that took place at Alcatraz. There was a sunrise ceremony. I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners the significance of doing that, of having part of the gathering take place at Alcatraz.
Yes, and it was during the week of November 24 through the 28th, actually, although I said 2 days were really the hard-working discussion talks days, which was Monday and Tuesday, the 24th and the 25th. On the 26th, Wednesday, we organized in San Francisco at the Baha'i Community Center a feast. The eagle invites the condor dinner. It was a pre-un-Thanksgiving dinner that was held there, and where we also had Keith Sekola, Charlie Hill, and other speakers, you know, along with a feast. And Thursday, of course, referred to as Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, the annual sunrise gathering at Alcatraz Island was held there in San Francisco, leaving from Pier 31, going to the island, about 3,500 people strong at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, out there waiting to get on board. And we were at the island from 6 to 9 a.m. And during that time, we had our guest speakers, both from American Indian Movement and local organizers, Indian organizers, speaking on issues of concern, and ceremonial dancing. We had a fire and offering tobacco. People were invited to do so. And we returned that morning, 9 a.m., and people were asked to go and visit and the different community cultural centers and dinners throughout the Bay Area. So the American Indian Movement on that Thursday did not hold a meeting per se, other than at that Alcatraz Sunrise Gathering. On the Friday, the 28th, we had a concert held for members of American Indian Movement, and it was a fundraiser as well, but it was to thank everyone also for participating and being part of the 40-year anniversary for that entire week. And I might say that if people want to listen to the discussions, the talks on Monday and Tuesday, and the feast as well of November 26th, Wednesday, they can listen in at www.earthcycles.net. And when you log into there, look at where it says AIM Conference, and you'll see the schedule and the individual speakers that you would be able to listen to and really get an insight of what the discussions all entailed.
Tony, could you just talk briefly about the significance of Alcatraz and the occupation that took place in 1969?
Well, Alcatraz Island in the San Francisco Bay Area, a very historical and significant place. As an island, it's somewhat considered a sacred site now, a sacred location, where we pilgrimage, quote-unquote, if you will, annually there to acknowledge and give honor to the struggle and the occupation that was began there on November 1969. Actually, there was an occupation there in 1964, I believe it was, by a handful of American Indians that included relatives of Bill Means and Ted Means' family. I believe they had used the federal statute of federal land not being used by the government will revert back to its original owners. So it was a very symbolic gesture to let the public know that Indian people have rights and claims to the lands. So it was reenacted, if you will, or redone November 1969. And for about 19 months, the island was held and occupied by American Indians. It was an intertribal effort, and it raised consciousness more significantly at the national level, where it brought together the Indian community and to begin organizing. And it was a crucial time, as people may recall, the social turmoil in this country at that time, and the war in Vietnam was going on, and the Black Panther Party was moving, and the white underground movement was moving. The civil rights was at a peak, and Red Power and the American Indian Movement was rising up. In fact, the American Indian Movement was formally established in July of 1968. So it was during and through that period that Alcatraz raised consciousness. It was the call to everyone of remembering Alcatraz and the occupation that began a political movement that culminated, through the efforts of campaigns and events such as the occupation at Wounded Knee in 1973, and the sacrifices of many people that died in the process. For example, there's still well over 60 unaccounted murders, deaths of members and supporters of American Indian Movement from Wounded Knee 73 to 76. There were as many deaths in South Dakota and in and around that area. So Alcatraz began a movement that culminated over the years to this United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the world's indigenous peoples, and that is very significant, and that is a part of the legacy that American Indian Movement has brought not only to this country but worldwide as an international movement. Now Indian people all over the world are asserting their own right to self-determination, and they are using that Declaration on the Rights of Indian People as a contemporary document or treaty to assert those rights. So American Indian Movement has played a big role in the last 30-40 years here in this country and internationally, and we want to continue to be at the forefront, a vanguard on issues, exposing issues, training the youth about the spirit of resistance and struggle in the movement, and that they have a place where they can assert and exercise those rights through American Indian Movement.
Tony Gonzalez, Director of American Indian Movement West, thank you for taking the time to speak with us this New Year's Day, 2009, on No One Is Legal Radio.
Oh, and thank you. And I just want to say that as a liberation organization, we are in solidarity with other liberation struggles throughout the world. And right now we're looking at the bombings that have been occurring in the Gaza, in the Palestine area. And we say that the Palestinians are the Indians of Palestine. And we are in support of their struggle. I wanted to mention that in this day, as we look ahead for this next year now, that we are all seeking liberation and freedom of not only ourselves, but for our peoples. We are for global peace.